Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. This is the B2B Influence Podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, your host, CEO of Outward Media. Today, we have the very lively Deborah Bowers. I've been chatting with her. She is the CEO of Hexagon Media, and she is also the host of Deals with Heels, and that's H-E-E-L-S podcast. Welcome, Deborah.
Yay! Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
She's here, even though there might be a tornado.
Hopefully not during this broadcast, but yes, we have a very high risk of tornadoes here in Oklahoma a little bit later this evening. So hopefully not near me.
Deborah likes to talk about aligning marketing with sales. And today we're going to talk about small and mid-sized businesses, how they can move beyond surface level KPIs through smarter targeting, message optimization, campaign accountability. So Deborah, you said that the only KPI that really matters is did we grow the business? For small and mid-sized companies, how should they think about traditional marketing metrics like impressions, clicks, form fills in the context of ROI and revenue growth?
I think, you know, those things are important. They're important for evaluating whether specific segments of your marketing campaign and your sales structure are working. It's not that they're not important. They are important. I use them every day when I look at campaigns. I look at impressions. Is the ad getting the impressions that we expected it to get within the target that we programmed it to do? Are we getting engagement? Are we getting feedback? Are we getting clicks over to the website? All of those things are important for determining whether or not our advertising or our content is doing its job, right? The problem is that if you only focus on that, then you have no idea why you're not getting sales. So I oftentimes will meet with a business and they have spent a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars with maybe a content creator or social media company or a digital agency, which can frankly mean anything. And they haven't gotten any sales. They've spent all this money and they don't have any return on their investment at all. And when I look at the stuff that their agency marketing company has given them, it all looks fantastic. The problem as far as impressions, and the problem is that I may be able to get thousands of clicks to your website, but if your website doesn't funnel them in to your sales funnel so that you can speak to them and have the opportunity to sell them, then if I ask that client later, hey, maybe we should try some social media or some digital search ads, they'll say, oh, I tried that. It doesn't work. When the truth is, it worked fine. It generated impressions, it generated engagement, and it generated clicks over to the other part of your sales structure, which is your funnel, wherever that may be. Some people use Facebook. Most people have a website. So they get over to your website. Now, what are you doing? And I think there's a general aversion to selling. It's a, I want to sell, but I don't want anyone to know I'm selling. I want to do it quietly. How can I sell people and then, but not really be selling them? It's this thing that we buy and sell things every day. Every day we're out, we get fuel, we get coffee, we get shoes, we buy and sell every day. We ask people for money every day. People ask us for money every day. But when it comes to our business, and the most important thing for us to talk about money about, that's our livelihood, our employees' livelihood, maybe the community's relying on us for community support, whatever all of those things are, it's the most important thing. It's so far back on the back burner. I got to dig deep to even find any kind of a sales philosophy for a business. And if you're not selling,
it's not
what are you There's a lot of things, let's face it, there's a lot of things that can cause us to go out of business these days. There's government problems and regulations, and maybe we hired the wrong accountant. Maybe we bought the wrong equipment. Maybe we hired the wrong personnel. Whatever all of those reasons are that could happen that might, one thing is sure, if you do not sell your products and services, you're 100% going to go out of business. So sales has to be top of mind when you're talking about marketing. You, as the small business owner, have to understand, who are my customers? Which ones am I trying to reach to sell to in this campaign? How am I doing it? Do I have an offer? Is that necessary? What kind of a message am I looking to deliver? What kind of a call to action? Then it doesn't matter if your content creator has marketing sales experience, mm-hmm. because they're creative. They're a content creator. Right. You have to give them that. This is what I want to do. Let them create it. Be the front runner for your sales process, for your sales philosophy, and for your campaign, because a lot of our industry has become segmented, and there's a lot of content creators and videographers and social media. And it's important that as the business owner, you understand the differences,
right?
So that you know which one to call upon for what your needs are. For example, I met with a business owner, and he had been working with an agency, and he had spent about $25,000 over 4 months.
That's a lot for a small business.
That is a lot for a small business. I was just looking at him and go, do you know what we could do with $25,000? Right. Most small businesses maybe have $5,000 as an annual budget. This guy had spent $25,000 in a 4 month period.
Okay.
And he had a nice video. It was at least horizontal, right? It was at least a format that could be used for paid ads and regular content. And for anybody out there listening that doesn't realize, TikTok videos, that phone format, can be used for television, can be used for paid ads. It needs to be horizontal for that. So use two phones. I don't know how you have to do it, but you need to be able to do it horizontally. So he had a nice video. So as I'm talking to him, he had been with a social media expert. That was their expertise, doing this omnipresent. And when I hear that word, I cringe always almost, because that means we can't really target it. We're just going to spend as much money we can on the platform, and your people are in there somewhere. They'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Scary when you think about it from a marketer. Maybe they're in there. We're going to blast it with everything we have. And in the meantime, you'll get some brand awareness. When I tell you that this business had the most niche business to business target audience that I've ever worked with, there may be 15 companies in the state of Oklahoma that he can sell to. So an omnipresent social media campaign, are those 15 companies in there? Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe they might be on 5 different social media platforms,
wow.
But he went to a social media agency. So he got a social media solution. Mm-hmm. If I go to a surgeon for my backache, I'm going to get a surgical right. solution. If I go to a psychiatrist, I'm going to get a psychological solution. And that's how segmented marketing has become. So if you know you're going to a content creator, then be prepared to tell them what kind of content you want them to make specifically.
So what did you do to help him, Deborah?
I talked to him. I did a lot of advising and strategy work with him. We talked about his audience and ways that we could contact those people nationwide. He's not geographically locked, so that expands how targeted we could get with lists and with paid digital ads, which you can get very targeted on those and specific professions. You can upload a list and send those ads. And so we did those things. And then one of the things I really like when I've got a very niche commercial audience, I really like to find that list and send them personalized direct mail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that direct mail is
coming back. It's made a comeback.
Listen, I'm like everybody else. I don't look at every piece of seemingly junk mail that comes to me at my home. But if I get something addressed to me as CEO of Hexagon Media. Mm-hmm. It's personalized. It's in an envelope. It's professional. I'm going to open it.
You're going to open it.
Because it's my job.
Yeah.
That's what everybody else. So that particular market, especially upper level, I really like that. It's if you can get the list, which most of the time you can. As an example, I had someone, a client, they were wanting to contact hospitals, smaller hospitals between, say, 30 and 100 beds. Okay. They had a whole niche. They wanted the CEO, the CFO, and board members. And we were able to get a nice list that we purchased from a third party.
Okay.
And then we could do multiple things with that list. We did personalized direct mail. We did email.
Okay.
You can upload that in to the digital system and send those banner ads to them. So now it's super niche.
Did you try LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is still mass media, right? For a smaller audience. I can't target specifically for that specific niche, but it is the only business to business platform. Mm-hmm. I think that has value, and it really depends on, I think it also depends on the industry a little bit, just because for me, I'm inundated. I know you are too on LinkedIn with people selling all kinds of marketing stuff.
But they are selling.
They are selling it. And I do look at some of it, but I think it depends on your industry, on whether or not that's a great thing. I don't know if that particular industry, it was safety.
Okay.
I don't know if that specific industry was on LinkedIn. It was just so niche that I hesitated to use any form of mass media, including social media, that I couldn't target. So I wanted to get really nitty gritty. I don't like wasteful spending. I don't like wasteful impressions.
What I like about what I'm hearing from you, Deborah, is that you're very prescriptive in talking to your potential client. And there are so many agencies that just want to spend the money. Get it. I did it. It's all spent. Oh, nothing really happened, but I did it. Okay. And so it sounds like you really care about that back end greatly. And if it's not something that can be done online and it is through direct mail, then that's where you go. Okay. And that's awesome, because we're a data company plus a performance agency. So a lot of times when we provide the data, they just run the programmatic campaign and it's over. And it didn't do anything.
You're not using the tools. There's so many, so much data and so many tools. Once we even
move the needle? Did you move the needle for them?
We did. We did. And so I think that instead of going, to me, a lot of the KPIs, listen, it's a dopamine hit. It's vanity. Oh, I got 5,000 likes on that. Mm-hmm. That dopamine. It's set up for that. And there's, I think we're seeing a split in content too, because there is a genre out there that all of that engagement and all of those likes and impressions are really important. And that's in that influencer affiliate marketing section of social media. But if you have a small business, then that content is not for you. That's not for you. That is growing eyeballs. And let me tell you, you got to get really big for it to actually cash flow enough for you to make a living doing it.
Those are the type of companies that you're talking about can't afford to just do brand awareness campaigns.
No. And I think that and here's the thing. I was very blessed when I worked for some nice big corporations when I was in corporate world and running marketing departments. And we did some traveling for conferences. And I saw a whole panel talking about Coca-Cola. We're talking about a bunch of different things. Back then it was image building. It wasn't branding, but it's the same thing. And do you remember that? The buzzword in the 90s. We're building our image. We're building our image. Same thing. Building demand for your products and services and you as provider of choice. But so anyway, they were talking about, the name escapes me, the CEO during that time frame in Coke. He was the CEO for the big Coke Pepsi challenge fiasco, which for all of us in marketing, other than Diet Coke, because it gave us Diet Coke Classic, is Tab. But that whole thing when they launched New Coke was such a fiasco. And so he was committed. I'm going to make Coke the biggest, most recognized brand in the world. And they did it. It was the, I don't know if it still is, but at the time it was the most recognized brand in the world. And the panel was there discussing how they did it. It was mostly traditional. They had started doing
they
some
had a
internet.
lot of money. They had a lot of money.
They had a lot of money, so, but that, I mean, the question was that was brought to them was, would you do it again? Mm. And they were talking specifically to the CEO. He goes, let me ask you, how much money do you think we made being the most recognized brand in the world?
I
have no clue. And there was a whole bunch of, and he said, we made less money.
Oh, wow.
We made less money.
Oh,
so if you focus
that story.
So he said, absolutely not. Show of hands. No one on the panel would have done it again.
Wow.
Because he said, it's not about vanity. We weren't doing it just to be so recognized. That's vanity. He said, we were doing it because we thought that was the path to making more money, to beating our competition. But the truth was that if you were a Pepsi drinker, you might recognize Coke, but you're going to buy what you normally drink. It's
not like.
Right. It didn't. All the media it took to become the most recognized brand in the world did not ROI to sales. And so for me, it's about sales. So yes, a big corporation can focus on branding and being recognized as a brand, but if it isn't building demand for your products and services and you as that provider, if all it's doing is putting out your name and your brand, then it's not doing its job and it's not going to translate to more sales, which is why we're all doing it. Let's face it.
So the customer that you inherited from somebody else.
All of them, right? Aren't they all that way?
And you move the needle for. Is it an ongoing situation? Are you able to work with them more? Or
I do a lot of strategy and then set it up. And I don't do a lot of, I don't do set it and forget it. But oftentimes, there's not a lot of additional work to do. I don't want to manage a CRM. That's not really something that I do. And he became so I manage some digital advertising for him and his list. But as far as ongoing strategy and building, he just is so niche that once you've got those 300 people, who else?
Yeah.
You know, is there going to be for that? Now, I do see some future there for some additional ancillary products that he will be back. Mm-hmm. It's more of a when he needs updated strategy and campaign as opposed to an ongoing on the media all the time, every month. Mm-hmm. So for him, it's set up and
so going. If you have a campaign, because none of us are 100% successful, right? So at what we do. But if you have a campaign that you didn't move the needle as much as you liked it to, or maybe what the customer thought it should be, how do you usually approach that on the back end to retool it or look to make it? Because there is a learning experience sometimes, right? It doesn't work perfectly, but then you start fine tuning it. How do you approach that?
For me, it's about communication. I'm constantly evaluating how it's doing. So I am looking at those KPIs. Are we getting it? And then I'm in communication with the client. Are you getting calls? What's your web stuff look like? I may not be in charge of their CRM or their web or their lead magnet or their funnel. I don't like to not have at least access to it or direct communication with whoever that is. And I let that be known clearly from the beginning because I don't want to be stuck with a bunch of great KPIs showing what a great job I did. And this part didn't work. It's important to tie that together and that your client understands how that's going to work. So it's not a surprise at the end where the contract's up and they haven't been seeing a moving any. I'm going to know. We're going to make adjustments along the way. And hopefully we won't get to that point, but sometimes we do. But girl, I sometimes will do too good of a job and lose a customer.
And losing a customer?
Yes, 100%. I had a pool customer and he was so worried, needed to get scheduled. We scheduled him through the winter.
Oh my word.
And so he didn't need me anymore. He was all scheduled out, canceled all the rest of his
ads.
That's
a great testimony for you. That's a
great
case history for that.
No kidding.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. So it met all of his goals. And he was like, thanks. He made it work.
When it works like that, it's very exciting.
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm competitive. How about you?
Oh, yeah. And when it doesn't work, you roll up your sleeves and go, this is what we could tweak over here, this is what we can tweak over there. Because it's an evolution, too. And with the advent of AI coming in, et cetera, things are changing very fast. And I'm sure you're aware.
Yes. And you're a data person. So, you know, if you dig deep enough in the data, you get into the company and its philosophy, you can see. For me, in the sales system, I can see where the break is. Because I'm a sales coach. Mm-hmm. I do sales training and I'm a sales coach. Mm-hmm. So I can see, we get over here, this is working. All right. Where's your sales presentation? What are you doing here? Are you getting through it? Are you getting to give a sales presentation? Are you not closing? What percentage are we closing? So in that sales part, we have to look at that too. Are we translating a lead to an appointment? Or are we losing them in the website because for whatever reason, they misunderstood what it was? Or, right, they got in there and maybe the price point wasn't what they wanted. If it was on there, maybe there was no price point. That sometimes people will click out if they can't see any idea of what the price is because they don't want to be talked into something. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't want to be sold.
Yeah.
They do want to be sold. They want somebody to sell them the right thing.
Yep. Yeah. At the right time.
Right. Even if they're looking for it, they still don't want to be talked into something that isn't exactly what they wanted. They want to be communicated with. They want to understand. They want it to feel like a relationship and not that you talked me into something and I signed and now I'm like, what did I just do? So I think that part's important too, analyzing what happened? Where did we lose them from the beginning all the way to the end where they said yes or no? Where are we losing them?
That sounds like your specialty.
It definitely is my sweet spot in finding that. And I think part of that comes from when I was in corporate America, of course, we put the big plan together and got all of this stuff approved. And that's the fun part. Executing the plan, that's the fun part. But I also was involved in how much growth the company is going to get from your plan. And every month in the manager's meeting with the comptrollers from corporate and the accountants local and all the operations people, I had to sit in the seat where they had a lot to say about whether or not my plan worked and how I could do it better. Typically from people with no marketing experience at all. The great thing is when the accountant wants to tell you a great idea for a commercial, those are the best ones, which is fine. But what that did was it gave me a level of accountability towards that end result that I'll never let go of. It's ingrained in me. And I'm competitive by nature anyway. I was an athlete. And so now I can't, that whole perfectionism. And so that whole sales process is so important. And knowing where your break is. So if you've got marketing running, content, paid content, whatever it is, and you can see you're getting the impressions and you trust that they're coming from people that are going to buy your product, that's part of it too, targeting it to the right place.
I like the fact that you said, you know, set it and forget it, because we find that's what a lot of people do. And then everybody wonders why it didn't work. So Deborah, if somebody wants to have a chat with you, how do they get a hold of you?
You can always find me on LinkedIn, or you can contact me from both of my websites, hexagonmedia.net or dealswithheels.com. It's H-E-E-L-S. But you can always email me also at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at dealswithheels.com. And you can also download my free ebook from, and I'll send you a link so you can include it.
Okay.
It is titled 5 Steps to Having a Mindset for Success.
Nice.
Mindset's a really big thing. I do behavioral buying patterns in my sales coaching, but more importantly, I really started my life over in my 50s and found myself and my passion and everything again. So it is never too late. And those are the exact 5 steps that I took to change my life. So for me, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor, but those are the steps that I specifically took that changed my life.
So everybody check out Deborah at Hexagon Media, and your email address again, Deborah?
Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at dealswithheels.com. That's H-E-E-L-S.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much for having me.
So smart, but a lot of fun to talk to you today as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.